turn to Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter number 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11, and once you find Deuteronomy 11, find verse number 10. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse number 10. And then if you would stand with me, please, I'm going to read four or five verses out loud to us all, and you can follow along, and I'll read. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 11, verse 10, it says, "For the land whither thou goest in to possess it is not as the land of Egypt, from whence she came out, where thou sowest thy seed and waterest it with thy foot as a garden of herbs. But the land whither ye go to possess it is a land of hills and valleys, and drinketh water of the rain of heaven. A land which the Lord thy God careth for, the eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. It shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil." And let's pray. Father, bless the sermon. Help it to help us. Thank you, Lord, for your love and your watch care over us, and might we be reminded of it and its great importance and security that it brings us, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there, if you will. I call the sermon this evening, "God Has His Eyes on You." There's a wonderful promise here. If you were listening there in verse number 12, it said, "In the land which the Lord thy God careth for, the eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it." Yes. And what a wonderful promise. The eyes of the Lord are upon it. You say, what is the it? What is the it? The it, in this case, is the land of Canaan. The Israelites had been in captivity in Egypt. While they were there, they watched how hard it was for the Egyptians. And the Egyptians were unsaved people. Now, so you know, in the Bible, Egypt has always pictured the world or carnal man. God's people, while in captivity in Egypt, they watched the land of Egypt produce food for the lost Egyptians. But it came under great stress. So they were watching in the land, the Egyptians, but as the God's people watched, they said, wow, they work and they work and they work and they work, and it's hard, and they're so stressed by everything around them. And so you know, folks, out in the world, that's the way it is. They're just so stressed to get anywhere, and the pressure that's on lost man is, it's a different pressure. We as saved people, we see things a little differently. Moses tells God's people that the land of Canaan is not like that. It's not like that and like it was in Egypt. Matter of fact, he says in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse number 10, it says, "For the land whither thou goest in to possess it is not as the land of Egypt from whence it came out." So they had been in captivity. In captivity, they looked at all the stress from the people in Egypt. And Moses said, "Now folks, don't worry. When we go into Canaan, it's not going to be like that. We're going to have a different type of a life." And Moses tells them that Canaan is not a land of continual stress for survival. The lost Egyptians, they survived, but they were miserable in their survival. Matter of fact, they maybe even had a lot, but they were still miserable in their survival. The land of Canaan, though, for God's people or the saved people, it is not a miserable existence. In Deuteronomy 11:11, it says this, "But the land whither ye go to possess it is a land of hills and valleys, and drinketh water from the rain of heaven." And that was Moses' way of saying, God takes care of his people. Moses tells them that that land where he talks about the valleys and drinking water from heaven, he's saying, boy, in the land of Canaan, God takes care of you and blesses you from heaven. Now, Egypt, in the Bible, it typifies lost man. Canaan typifies saved people. Lost man, basically, is his own provider. He looks to himself for his needs. And because of this, his needs are always many and frequent. His self-dependency becomes very, very heavy on him. That's why out in the world they're always chemical dependent and alcohol dependent, and they're all messed up and freaked out. And why? They're dependent on themselves. They're driven to desperation and depression. They live lives full of stress and anxiety and sorrow and fret and disappointment and despair and hopelessness. But the saved man, he lives in a different country. We're not of Egypt. We're like the Canaanites. Saved man is the citizens of, if you will, Canaan. And we are nourished from heaven. And it uses those words, drinketh the water from the rain of heaven. Saved man is not self-dependent. He is dependent on God. Saved man looks not to himself for his nourishment and sustainment. He looks to God. Saved man, he may face the same problems a lost man faces, but with a totally different attitude. A lost man looks at his burdens and they produce stress and panic and despair. Saved man looks at his burdens, thinks of his faith in God, reminds himself of 1 Peter 5:7, where the Bible says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And we say, God and I can do this. Lost man says, I'm not going to make it. I can't take it. And Moses is teaching the people that were in that captivity, don't you worry, with God, we're going to be in Canaan. And he's going to take care of us. And you've watched the Egyptians stressed out and unable to provide for themselves. And even when they do provide for themselves, they're always messed up. Well, now, that kind of explains the surroundings of what were the verses that we read. Now, I want to go back to Deuteronomy 11 and 12, and I want to read the verse to you again. The Bible says, a land which the Lord thy God careth for, the eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it from the beginning of the year even into the end of the year. And may I say tonight to all saved people, let remind you, that is a promise to me and you who are citizens of Canaan, and that's a promise from our God. See, we're not like Egypt. We're different. Our destination is different. Our journey to that destination is different. Egypt is a mess, but Cana is blessed. Now, I want to talk to you just for a little while about the idea that he expresses there in verse number 12, where he said the eyes of the Lord God are always upon it, or always upon us. What is meant by that? It's not just that God is all-knowing. We know he knows everything, but it says the eyes of the Lord are in every place beholding the evil and the good. And yes, God sees all. But this is speaking of a sweet, personal, watchful eye that God has on you as an individual. This is not like God's watchful eye snapping a picture of the whole family of God, but this is God taking a picture of you as an individual. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 1, verse 6, it says, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. He observes you and I. And I think he does it with great delight. I don't know if you realize it, but God's interested in you. He's interested in you. He is concerned. He cares about you. There is detailed observation of your moment-by-moment situation in life, and God cares. You know, I do not know how much the government watches us, but they watch us far more than what you realize. But I'm going to make you a promise. There's somebody that watches you far more than the government could ever dream, and that's your God. And I don't know why the government watches like they do, but I know why God watches like he does, because God loves you. His eyes are always upon you. But not only that, his eyes are always upon you, but so is his heart. Now, when the government might say, they might say to us, well, our eyes are always upon you too. But there's a difference. I'm not sure they love you. But the God that always has his eyes upon you, he has his eyes upon you because he loves you. He loves all of us. He loves the family. But this is a personal reminder for you. As an individual, this is the great big God of the universe keeping his eye upon insignificant, undeserving,
worthless me and you. We're the object of His unfathomable grace, His unmeasurable love, His incredible watch care. See, there's nothing that comes into your life that He is not examining and watching. And when you're thinking, does anybody know what's going on here? There is somebody that knows what's going on here. You say, who is it? The one who loves you. The God of the universe. God takes a personal interest in His children. Notice it does not say that He sent His angels to keep an eye on us. He does it personally. I think He may watch, He watches us, and the angels may watch Him watch us, but I've got a feeling that God takes care of us personally. I think He always does what's best for His kids. Now, we have His watch care, and here's something that's good for you to know. Did you know the Bible teaches that He never slumbers or sleeps? I can tell you something. That reassures me. See, He doesn't slumber or sleep because He never gets weary. The Bible says in Psalm 121 verse 4, behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Hey, when God is watching out for you and keeping an eye on you, when He is busy with His eye watching and busy with His heart loving, He never dozes off. You say, what just happened? That just happened. Did God doze off? No. He was awake all the way through the thing. He's more apt to be awake during your burden than you are. He never sleeps. You may forget about Him. He never forgets about you, not even for a second. If you say, I feel forgotten, no, He's not forgotten you for even a moment. He's never left you. He's never misplaced His concern and love for you. The eyes of the Lord never grow weary. Now, what's happening is, In the text of the scripture, Moses came to the children of Israel and he said, look, you've watched the Egyptians and how they struggle and how they're stressed and how they work and work and work and they feel like they don't get anywhere. And it's a constant challenge. And Moses said, don't you worry. The land of Canaan is not going to be that way. God is going to provide for us. God will have His eye on us. You know, something with God, you may have failed Him many times. I know I have. But he's never failed you. You say, well, I think He failed me once. That's your misunderstanding. God has never let you down. He has never let you down. I may let you down and you may let me down, but God will never let you down. He is constantly watching out for you. And remember, He's not just watching you. He is loving you while He watches you. Did you know that God never loved you for the good works He gets out of you? He doesn't love you for the good works He gets out of you. He loves you because He loves you. He loves you because He's love. Now, He will not cast you aside because you don't do good works. Now, I think we're supposed to do good works. I think we're supposed to serve Him. But God's love for you is not dependent on what you do. God's love for you is dependent on what He is. So if you say, preacher, I've been bad and I don't do the good things that I'm supposed to do and so I don't think I'm so important to God. Important enough that His Son died for you. He loves you. He loves you. You know, you and I, we want rewarded for our kindness to people. And we want to be treated a certain way. And I think God deserves to be treated right and well. But I just want you to understand something. God loves you. You say, God loves me, but what? No, God loves you. Period. He loves you. Did you know that if you're a born-again Christian, that He sees you as clean and as white as snow? The Bible says in Isaiah 1:8, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. God loves you. He never slumbers. He never sleeps. His love is not dependent on your good works or your lack thereof does not limit His love. Now, I think His blessing and I think there are rewards that you won't see because you don't serve Him. But just so you know, He loves you and He's watching out for you. His care, according to the Bible, is constant. When Moses was explaining this to the children of Israel, he said in Deuteronomy 11:12, he said, the eyes of the Lord are always always upon you. Always. Then he even said, from the beginning of the year to the end. He was trying to make it so they would understand it. We're never removed from his watch care. It won't be long. It'll be January 1. Can I tell you something? God loves you and will watch out for you on January 1. And then on January 2. And then on the 3rd. And then next year, the 4th day, he'll be watching out for you. And on the 5th day, and on the 6th day, and on the 7th day, and on the 8th day, and on the 9th day, and on the 10th day, and on the 11th day. On the 12th, and the 13th, and the 14th, and the 15th, and the 16th, and the 17th, and the 18th, and the 19th. And he doesn't go to sleep. So it's all day long. I'm talking about 12 midnight, and 1 a.m., and 2 a.m., and 3 a.m., and 4 a.m., and 5 a.m., and 6, and 7, and 8, and 9, and 10, and 11, and 12. And you go back to the 19th and the 20th day, and when you get to the 300th day, he's still got an eye on you and watching out for you. And he made it very, very clear in Deuteronomy 11:12, when Moses was trying to convince the people, he said, look, you look at the world and you look at the stress of the world and you look how they live and you look how they deal with it. You are not like that. You have a God that watches out from you from sunup to sundown. He never slumbers. He never sleeps. He'll watch out for you all 12 months out of the year and every week out of the year and every day out of the year and every hour out of the year and every minute out of the year and every second out of the year. God has his eye on you. Now that's hard for you and I to understand. You say, why? Because we can't keep our eye on anything that long. The Christians of our generation are all struggling with spiritual, what I call spiritual attention deficit. We can't concentrate while we pray. We can't concentrate while we read our Bible. If my sermon goes longer than the average television show, I lose half the congregation. Because we're so programmed to Hollywood's way of doing things and timing. It's hard for us to think that God could concentrate on us like that. But that's what makes him God. So I'll say, oh Lord, I want my mind to be stayed on Thee. And I'll concentrate and I'll say, I'm going to keep my mind on God, I'm going to keep my mind on God. And 30 minutes later, I've forgotten totally that I was going to keep my mind on God. And I've got to push the reset button and say, I got to get my mind back on God. Do you know something? God never has to push the reset button about thinking about you. Because His mind is on you all day long, every day. You say, that's hard for me to understand. You don't have to understand it. Just go ahead and enjoy it. Believe it by faith, because he said, I never slumber, I never sleep. I'll watch out for you every day of the year. Who is it that cares for you like that? The Bible says in Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. What you say, what does that mean? You don't even have to, though I think you ought to call on God if you need help, but might I tell you, you're calling on someone that's already there. He's a very present help. Say, there's a hurt, there's an issue, he's on the job. Just like that. He's there. Who is it that has his eyes upon you? That's this God of Deuteronomy 11:2. Thy God, your God, my God. And not another man's God, my God. When our kids were growing up, my wife used to do something, and part of it was her way of teaching the kids to love their dad. But my wife, the kids would be standing around, and my wife would grab my arm, and she would say to our children when they were little, she would say, ah, this is my daddy. And my kids would come over and grab my arm or grab my leg and say, my daddy. And she would say, no, my daddy. And that's why one of my arms is longer than the other. I was abused when my children were little. But you know, they would have so much fun as she would say, my daddy. And they would say, no, my daddy. Can I tell you all something? My daddy. He's my daddy. And he's your daddy too. We forget about him. We get in a hurry. We get to living our life. And let me tell you something, folks. I think we ought to be careful. God, through Moses, said to the children of Israel, there's a lot of anxiety out there with the people in Egypt and the lost. They're frantic and they work and they don't feel like they're making any progress. Hey, you and I as Christians, we ought to be careful that we're not living our life like the Egyptians were. Because God came along through Moses and said, hey, it's not like that for God's people. It's not like that. And part of the reason is because we've got my God, our daddy, watching out for us. I only really have 2 points to my sermon. The first is this idea of him being the one that's got his eye on us. I just want to ask you a quick question for the second point. Are your eyes on him? Did you come to church today to meet with God? Or did you come to meet with a friend? Oh, nothing wrong with coming to see a friend at church. But there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Never miss it. Young people, I think you like coming to church. I think you like coming. You like what happens on the church bus. And you like what happens in Sunday school. I think there are teenagers that come because they enjoy some of the activity and the fun in Youth Ablaze or King's Kids or Flyers Club. I think there are some people that like to come to church on Sunday night. You sing in the choir. I think there are a lot of reasons why people come to church. But I do need to remind you of something. We were to come here tonight to see God. To be with God. Please don't miss that. That's really what church is all about. Do you see God as you pass by lost people? If you and I were seeing God when we pass by lost people, then we'd be concerned about telling them about Jesus. Do you see God? Hey, when you stay home from church and you didn't have to, did you have your eyes on God at that moment? Moses said he wanted to see God. You know what Moses said in Exodus 33:18? He said this. He said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Moses said, God, I want to see you. I want to see you. I want to see you in what I do. I want to see you in my life. You know, I think it's a privilege when you recognize God and what's going on around you. The Bible says in Matthew 5:8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Oh, keep your eyes on God. Wherever you're at in life, make sure you're keeping your eye on God. You say, well, why should I? His eye's always on you. He always is watching out for you. Get this. Did you know the Bible says that Moses... Listen, I'll read the verse to you. Exodus 33:11 says, and the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. Young people, I don't know if mom and dad talked to you about this, but I taught my children growing up, you need to learn how to make eye contact with other people. When someone's talking to you, you look at them right in the face. You make eye contact with them. You can't do that through texting, so you know. But people need to learn how to make eye contact. Do you understand that Moses spake with God face to face? How would you like to look into the eyes of God? You ought to be keeping your eye on the Lord. Let me ask a couple real simple questions and I'll be done. You pray, but do you see God when you pray? And I'm not talking about some picture or some image. When you pray, you connect with God? Or are you just talking? Who are you talking to? The average person in this room, when you pray, you're talking to yourself. You do understand there is a God. And you ought to be talking to Him. When you read your Bible, do you see God? You just read your Bible out of a rote obedience. I think when we read our Bible, we should see God. I think when we pray, we should see God. I think when we're at church, we should see God. Why? Because He's got His eye on you. He never takes His eye off of you. When you sing a song, When Brother Edward says, take your songbook and turn to page number 2. When you are singing a song about God, do you see God? We just enjoy music. I enjoy music. But we don't sing those songs because you enjoy music. Bottom line is, we sing those songs because we want your eyes on the God of the music. Hey, choir member, you see God when you're singing? Hey, special music participant, you see God? Soul winner, you see God? Bus worker, you see God while you're doing your work? Sunday school teacher, you teach your class, do you see God while you're teaching? Hey, greeter, usher, leader, you see God? I love that song, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. And you know something? We ought to all be looking for God. We ought to keep our eyes on God. Why? God keeps His eyes on us. This world needs some Christians who have their eyes on the Lord. And I'll tell you why you'll be frantic about the world. You look at it too much. Keep your eyes on God. You say, Pastor, what in the world's going to happen at our border? There are some people trying to come into our country from another country, and there's a lot of chaos in our government about it. Can I tell you what you ought to do about that? Just keep your eyes on the Lord. It'll be okay. Who's going to win the election? I don't know. I don't know. What are we going to do? I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to keep my eyes on the Lord. Because He never takes His eyes off of me. Can I tell you how you, what something that would help you an awful, awful lot with the sin that's in your life? Now, we ought to be paranoid, concerned, convicted about the fact that He sees us. You know, every sin that you're committing, God sees. But could I help you even more with the sin in your life? Get your eyes on Him. See, He watches you as you do wrong, but I don't think you'd do wrong as often if you were busy watching Him. His eyes are always upon you, and for some reason that does not deter you from doing wrong. But I'll tell you what will deter you from doing wrong. You start looking into His eyes while He's watching you. Parents, I don't know how you do things, but I had a way that if I were looking at my kids, if there was anything going on, if I could get them to look back at me and look in my eyes, I watched some immediate change of behavior. Y'all know what I mean. I didn't have to say a thing. And there were times, I can promise you, there were times when I was watching one of my children and I was looking very intensely. I would just look, and I was waiting for that eye contact. And that's all it took. Let me tell you something. For some of you, God is staring at you. And He's just hoping that He'll make eye contact with you. Why? Because if you would look back at Him while He's looking at you, we might have a behavior change. It works. Most parents here know what I'm talking about. You say, well, wonder if it doesn't. You can always go to the woodshed if you want to. Then we won't be using eyes. Listen, remember this. His eyes are always upon you. I think then we ought to want to keep our eyes on Him. And Moses was trying to calm the children of Israel for so long. They had been in captivity and it wouldn't be long. They'd be going into Canaan. And I think they had a little bit of a worried attitude that look at how these people in Egypt are stressed. Look how hard it's going. Look how rough their life is. And Moses said, don't you worry. We're of a different country. And it won't be a Pharaoh that's watching over our shoulder. It will be our God that's looking down from heaven. And He will keep His eye on us. And I think that God deserves that we keep our eye on Him. Somebody here needs to make eye contact with God. Because you're a bit distant. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're not saved tonight, if you need to be born again, you come during this altar call and we'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. Then may I ask this question, Christian, really and honestly, sermon's real simple. And so let me ask you a question. You make an eye contact with God?